Title of the sermon is Signs of the Last Days. You know, there's a lot of controversy sometimes over this sermon. No, I'm not going to predict the day the Lord's coming back. Don't worry, because no man knows. I believe sometimes we as believers, sometimes in our own hearts, sometimes wonder if it's really going to happen. What I can tell you is, if Jesus said it, it's going to happen. And I hope each of you is ready to meet the Lord Jesus. Nearly 2,000 years ago, the Apostle John penned the following prayer when Jesus promised to return quickly. Revelation 22:20, he says, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." John thought he was in the last days. Paul expected that he would be alive when Jesus returned to this world. We read that passage this morning, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 17. Twice in this passage that we're going to look at this morning, the apostle uses the phrase, "we which are alive and remain." He believed that he was in the last days too. Simon Peter in 2 Peter 3:13 tells us that he is looking for that day himself. The word he uses, looking, is in the present tense. So Peter believed that he was living in the last days. You know, I think that many of us believe that we are living in the last days. But these great men of God were wrong in their day. Is it possible that we are wrong in our day as well? Something to think about. One thing for sure is that no one knows for certain when the Lord Jesus will return. Matthew 24:36, if you're taking notes. Another thing that is certain is the fact that we are more than 2,000 years closer today than they were then. That's something to think about also. While we cannot with pinpoint accuracy tell when the Lord will return to this world, we are told what the last days will be like. These verses we're going to look at this morning gives us the clearest portrait of all when it comes to accurately portraying the spiritual and social climate of the last days. Are we living in the last days? Well, let's examine the evidence given to us in these verses this morning that address this very question. Since TV's gone wacko, I kind of watch MeTV. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but they play the Lone Ranger. Do you remember the Lone Ranger? Who was that masked man? He was on television on Saturday mornings. Or the Rifleman was on Tuesday nights. You know, it's probably over 40 years ago. Shows were not filled with curse words, sex scenes, and heroes who brutally killed others in vengeance. I think I've seen a lot of the episodes of The Lone Ranger. And you know what? I don't think he ever killed anyone. If you know different than that, you tell me after the service. Someone called me a couple weeks ago and said I pronounced something wrong. I'd like, thank you. Definitely not perfect. And I do make one or two mistakes a year. But you know what? I don't think the Lone Ranger ever killed anyone. Has anybody ever seen The First Rifleman? Do you remember? Probably not. But the new ranch house, it starts out with a new ranch house of Lucas McCain, played by Chuck Connors. The house is burned down by men who want them to leave the territory. His son Mark asks, "Why did God allow this to happen? He must be dead set against us," the boy says. "Mark, there is a man in the Bible named Job," Lucas said. And then he tells the moving and reverent story about Job and how God works in tragedy. Amazing. Do you ever see anything like that on TV today? Seldom, if ever. about the only way you hear God's name on TV is a filler and a sentence of curse words. On TV, the Bible is often referred to as a book read by serial killers who torture and kill. Sex and violence fill the TV screens, and God, the Bible, and Christians are belittled unmercifully, for sure. They belittle us every chance they get. They belittle our God every chance they get. That bothers me. I hope it bothers you. This is the time Paul was talking about when he writes in verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." According to Hebrews 1:2, how will God communicate with us in the last days? Well, Hebrews 1:2 says, "Has in the last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds." The last days began with Christ's earthly ministry and will continue until his second coming. I don't know if you realize that. But since we are living in the last of the last days, the moral collapse of society should not surprise us, because the Bible says perilous times shall come. So what does that word perilous mean? It means dangerous. There's going to be dangerous times. In the last days, I see in this passage, three things will change in the last days. If you're taking notes, I think I just got it on your sermon outline for you. You don't have to write it. There'll be a change in affection. Look at chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 with me. It says, "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Paul writes that people shall be lovers of their own selves, verse 2. That means self-centered. This is called humanism, which teaches we don't need God to be good or ethical. When our love for self is over-elevated through ego, then our love for God and the things of God is lowered. It's lowered. We don't have any room for God. This makes us susceptible to selfishness, immorality, and sin. The pride of self-love is the persistent, deadly sin that grips the human soul, and I believe is the foundation of all the other sins that Paul lists here. It might be called the sewer out of which the rest of these ugly sins are released. Being self-centered causes us to become covetous or materialistic. The accumulation of assets becomes a mean of self-gratification. Why do men and women work long hours at the expense of their family, at the expense of their church, or at the expense of God? Why is personal debt the number one contributing factor to divorce in the United States? Because people love money and the things and the pleasures it can buy. When people direct their affection or their love to money and material pleasures, there is no affection left for others or for God. It's really sad. It's very, very sad. God gives us a warning in 1 Timothy 6:10, if you want to turn there, about the love of money. But I don't think you need to turn there because you know the verse. You know it. It says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." When people become lovers of their own selves and covetous, there will be a change in affection, followed by, secondly, a change in attitude. Let's read verse 2 again. It says, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. In the last days, people will become boasters, which means braggarts. This is just a manifestation of self-love. It is bragging about one's accomplishments, one's acquaintances, or one's assets. Boastful people love to be in the spotlight or the center of attention. They are always the heroes of their own stories. It goes on to say, people in the last days will be proud in verse 2, which means they put themselves above others and their opinions above the Word of God. Do you know anyone today that puts their opinion above the Word of God? I hear it a lot. People make excuses why they don't come to church, why they don't read their Bibles. It's just pride is what it is. Their opinion is more important than the Word of God. It means they are arrogant and they're haughty. Prosperity causes us to become boasters and proud. I don't know if you know that or not. But when the Israelites were on the border of the Promised Land, Moses warned them about when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, in Deuteronomy 8:13. Deuteronomy 8:14 says, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. I think we have forgotten. We've had it so well in America, we forgot about God. I wrote here, in the depths of the Great Depression, our courts would have never thought about ordering the Ten Commandments taken off the walls of public schools. They would have forbidden teachers. They would not have forbidden teachers to lead prayer during the heat of World War II. Because God has blessed this country with peace and prosperity, we have become proud and arrogant. God gives us a warning about being proud in Proverbs 16:5. It says, everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. He does not like that, folks. In one verse in the Bible, he says he hates it. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. Being boasters and proud always leads to being a blasphemer. In 2 Timothy 3:2, it mentions blasphemers here. This means to slander people or God. People who have an overinflated view of themselves are always verbally abusive and irreverent. When we evaluate ourselves, we automatically devalue others and God. When we elevate ourselves, sorry, I got a floaty in my eye here. You know what? When we put ourselves first, we automatically devalue others and God. God's not that important to us anymore. This happens because what's in our hearts comes out of our mouths. Jesus describes this truth in Matthew 12:34. He says, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's amazing. You can kind of tell what's going on some people on their inside by what comes out of their mouth on the outside. In the last days, there will be a change of affection. People will become lovers of their own selves and covetous. There will also be a change in attitude. People will be boasters, proud, blasphemers. You know what? I'm starting to think we're not in the last days. How about you? That's good. You're listening. That's okay. I was actually not telling the truth. When I read this, I was like, oh my word. Oh my word. He goes on to say there's going to be a change in actions. It says, and let's look at verse 2 again. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. The result of the change in affection and attitude will be seen in the basic institution of our society. And what is that? It's the home. The home. It says, for children will become disobedient to parents. I think this is particularly caused by the absence of parents from the home and a generation of latchkey children. The love of self and money in our generation is doing its greatest damage to our children. Today, money is more important than mothering, and finances are more important than fathering. But even when parents are not perfect, or even close to perfect, what commandment does God give us? Turn to Exodus chapter 20, if you would, with me, please. This applies to us all. Exodus 20, verse 12. It says, honor thy father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. This command, it's a command, it's not a request. This command was given because God knows the importance of strong families. The Hebrew word translated honor means to esteem or respect. This command also implies that parents are to teach their children such respect. It amazes me how many parents allow their young children to speak to them disrespectfully. You know, I thought about this when I was working on the farm as a boy. The man that hired me, he had a couple of small boys, and his boys called him Al, not Dad, or, you know, hey, Al, what's going on? Oh, my dad always said, don't get any ideas. That's very disrespectful. But you know what? Our children today are very disrespectful. You know what? Even if our parents are abusive, absent, and far from perfect, we are still commanded to honor them. Remember this. Who chose your parents? God did. So in the last days, people will also be unthankful, which is the result of pride and arrogance. People think they deserve everything and therefore feel gratitude for nothing. Unthankful people are always miserable, regardless of what they have. But even people with meager possessions can be happy if they are thankful for what God has given them. God wants us to be happy, folks. That's why he gives us this command in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything, give thanks. Thankfulness is the result of focusing on what we have rather than what we don't have. Paul also describes the last days as unholy in verse 2. This translates from a Greek word that literally means profane or gross indecency. It refers to people who gratify every immoral lust and passion. The unholy person is driven by self-love to gratify his lusts and passions of whatever sort as fully as possible, with no thought of modesty, decency, or personal character. The last days will be a time when people are without natural affection. The word used here for natural affection is the Greek word for love of family. Therefore, without natural affection is a lack of love for one's own family. husbands abusing their wives verbally, emotionally, and physically is epidemic in the United States, believe it or not. Many fathers desert their families, and financial support for their children can only be achieved through court intervention. Don't believe me? Watch Judge Judy for a little while. It's incredible. It's incredible, folks. Moms suing daughters. It's incredible. It just really surprises me. Over like $200. I mean, I wouldn't sue Gene for at least $50,000. I'm just kidding. Do you know what? This is a sign of the latter part of the last days. It goes on to say truce breakers. Truce breakers translates a word that means unrelenting or irreconcilable. It refers to people who will not forgive and are filled with bitterness and anger beyond reason. They refuse to forgive, even when presented with the opportunity. Continuing to paint word pictures of the last days, Paul says people will be false accusers, which translates from the Greek to the word devil. It means malicious talkers, malicious talkers. It refers to people who delight in spreading rumors and gossip. Destroying another person's good name gives them demented delight. Do you know anything like that today? It's crazy. The evil spirit, the devil, leads us to gossip and tear people down, while the Holy Spirit will always lead us to obey Ephesians 4:29. It says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it might impart grace to the hearers." Incontinent, verse 3. Refers to people who do not have self-control to restrain their words or actions. Do we know anything like that? It's crazy. They're shameless in their conduct. The word fierce in verse 3 means insensitive, rude, and crude. It translates a word that pictures a savage, wild animal attacking and tearing its victim to pieces. It refers to those who are ruthlessly violate others with words and actions. Are we in the last days? The phrase despisers of those that are good describes those people who in the last days will hate what they should love and love what they should hate. God gives us a warning about such people in Isaiah 5:20. He says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." People in the last days will be traitors. This refers to people who will betray the trust of a family and friends to make a dollar to get ahead. There will be people everywhere trying to take advantage of others. We see all kinds of new ways people are becoming traitors, with the epidemic of deceptive telemarketing, deceptive get-rich-quick schemes. I get several calls every day. It just drives me crazy, and I'm sure it does you too. But one is on my car warranty. Don't hang up. Your car warranty just ran out. So one day I was feeling kind of humorous, so I just pushed the number, and a guy came on. He said, "Oh, your car warranty's out." I said, "Yeah, I guess so. You keep calling me." He said, "Which car is it?" I said, "I have no idea. You tell me. You keep calling me." Could it be the 70 van I'm driving? I think that warranty went out in the 80s. Anyway, it just drives me crazy. All the stuff we get on email, it's just crazy. The word translated heady means reckless or negligent. It is people who act foolishly without concern for the consequences of their actions. This includes people who do drugs or get involved in immoral sexual behavior. Their actions come from being high-minded and blinded by their pride and their arrogance. They think they are above the consequences of their actions. In the last days, people will be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. This means they are controlled by pleasures rather than by God. Paul concludes this list by writing, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. The phrase, from the form of godliness, means they are religious, maybe go to church, and use religious jargon, but it's all a sham. They really don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They know about Christianity, but know nothing of Christ's power of transforming lives. They just masquerade as Christians. I hope that doesn't describe anybody that's listening to my voice today. Are you playing church? You fooling everybody? You know, folks, it doesn't fool God. Titus 1:16 talks about people like this. Titus 1:16 says, they profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. In regard to such people, Paul writes, from such turn away, 2 Timothy 3:5. This means flee those who claim to be Christians but who deny the transforming power of the gospel. Their description in verses 2 through 4 will make them easy to recognize. In the last days, there will be a change in affection, attitude, and action. Which one of these things Paul lists in verse 2 through 4 do you battle with the most in your life? And you know what? You ask the Lord, what can I do this week to have victory over them? So in closing here, are we in the last days? Well, you know, folks, I think all signs seem to indicate that we are. And if that is the case, then what do we need to do? Well, first of all, as individuals, we need to get every nook and cranny of our lives cleaned up and separated unto the Lord. I just bought some new tracks. They're in the back rack. It's called Christ's Heart, My Heart, Christ's Home. Take one of those out of the rack. It really makes you think about the different areas in your life and where we're slack and where we have dirt and where we have sin. There's a bunch of them back there. Please take one. I handed them out in church a couple years ago. But we need to pay attention to that, folks. We need to be separated unto the Lord. Secondly, as a church, we need to be sure that we get ourselves totally separated from every worldly influence and that we stay separated unto the Lord. We are in the last days, and if we are not careful, we will be sucked into the mentality that dominates this society today. And I don't want that, and I know you don't want that. So let's pay attention to that. Paul stated that these religious people he has just described would consider themselves religious. He said, having a form of godliness in verse 5. It suggests an outward appearance of religion, but not true Christian faith, for they have never experienced the power of God in their lives. Let me ask you, if you're listening to me this morning, does that describe you? Has there been a time in your life when you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Folks, don't keep waiting. Don't wait. Get that done in your life today. You know what? One of these days, Christ is going to come through those clouds and he's going to take us out of here. Then it's going to be too late. Don't wait. There's no value to that. I would encourage you to submit to Jesus today. And you know what? If you're a believer here today and you're struggling with some of these things we talked about, get that right in your heart today. Just ask God to forgive you and quit doing it. That's all you need to do. God is faithful. He'll forgive you. Let's pray. covered a lot of ground this morning, Lord, and all indications shows, Lord, that you're coming back soon. I pray that each one of us, Lord, will be prepared to meet you. And I pray that we would be fervent, Lord, in our sharing the gospel with others and being ready to give an answer at each moment of our lives. And Lord, I pray that we would be faithful to the end. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.